Hello, this is Dr. Huizinga, and today we have Linda as a guest, and we're going to talk about confronting the other person, reasons not to confront the other person, specifically as they relate to an emotional affair. So that's going to be the topic for today. And Linda's online. Linda, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome.
All right. Good. You will be able to hear Linda, but you are everyone on this. All the attendees are on mute, so your voices will not be heard. Linda and her husband Doug have worked on their marriage and their relationship after it was discovered that Doug was having an emotional affair, and they've been working through that, working on their marriage, and they've also set up a website, www.emotionalaffair.org, that I encourage you to check out. And they, on that, they tell their story, and they're very committed to helping people walk through an emotional affair. So I'm going to have Linda say more about herself, but first of all, just a couple of housekeeping things here. If you have questions, okay, there is a box over on the right, I believe, where it says questions, and you can type in your question there. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep an eye on that as we move along and try to keep your questions kind of short. I have three or four questions here now, and they're kind of long, so it's going to be hard for me to take up a lot of time to read your questions if they're long. So I just may skip some of those. So if you have a question, kind of keep them brief if you can. That'd be helpful for me and helpful for everyone too, because we want to use our time efficiently here. And the webinars will be posted. There's one more webinar next week on assessing if you're ready to confront the other person, if you choose to do that. And after that webinar, I will post all three webinars on the blogs and give those who have registered at least an opportunity to see those. Okay, Linda, tell us about yourself.
Okay. Okay. Let's see, I feel like I'm doing an AA meeting. I'm Linda, and my husband had an emotional affair 2 years ago. We had been married 23 years when I discovered his affair. At the time, we had three teenage children. It has been a very long process with healing and trying to repair our marriage. Should I go on to the dynamics of the affair?
Sure, sure. Okay. You just go where you think it's important for people to know something about you.
Okay. When I discovered, I had discovered the affair in September of 2008, and it wasn't really a discovery. I just had looked at my husband's cell phone and saw a lot of calls to a particular person. And at the time, he denied it and said they were just friends. He was a work colleague, and they were conducting a lot of business. And he also had said that he loved me, but he wasn't in love with me. So those words really struck me, and I actually put the thoughts of the other woman to the side. And I started to try to save our marriage. For the next couple of months, I did everything I could, you know, everything that I thought I had done wrong, and really tried to do to save it without any kind of, nothing really worked. He was distant and not receptive to my changes, and I finally kept pursuing this other woman, and about another month later, he finally admitted to having an emotional affair with his co-worker.
And how long had the affair been going on at that point, Linda?
I think about 6 months.
Okay. Okay. And what was it like for you? What was it like for you when you discovered what was going on?
It was followed by a panic attack. It was I felt like my whole life had fallen apart. That everything that I had thought our marriage was now unreal, and I didn't know what to do or where to turn, and I just continued to try to do everything I could to save our marriage. You know, I just tried to be the perfect wife.
Okay.
I didn't really get angry. I was more emotionally upset.
And how did Doug respond to that?
He was remorseful, but I don't think he was ready to give up the affair. He said that it was over, but it was still continuing.
Uh-huh. Okay. How do you know it was an emotional affair? What made you come to that conclusion?
Well, he had told me that it had not become physical. That, you know, they were really close, really good friends. He enjoyed talking to her. He told me that she was helping him with his marriage. That, you know, he was telling her his problems, and she was, you know, guiding him through it. And just had really, I had looked up, you know, emotional affairs, different kind of affairs on the internet, and just all the things that he was telling me really pinpointed to that kind of affair.
Okay. Let me go to my next slide here. Before we get into confronting the other person, Linda, I want us to make sure that we have an understanding of what an emotional affair is, because I outlined, you know, six other different types of affairs, and in some of them, I believe it's really okay to confront the other person, and in some, it's almost a necessity in some ways, in some situations. But in the emotional affair, I think it's a little bit different. So I think we need to understand what an emotional affair is. And these are seven keys that I outline in my ebook here. Emotional affair, you got to hang on to your seat. It's going to be like a roller coaster ride.
That's so true.
Is it? Okay.
Yes.
Say more about that.
Emotions. Being one day he's back, you know, he wants to spend time with you. You feel like you're on the right track. 2 days later, he's withdrawn again. It was just a roller coaster of not knowing who was going to show up at the door. You know, was he committed to the marriage? Was he not? And that went on for a very long time.
Okay. And so it was a roller coaster for you, too, because you were watching him very closely, I would assume.
Yes. Well, too closely. Every movie made, I analyzed. You
okay.
Know, that's what we do.
You analyzed and you felt it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And then couldn't control it.
Okay. Number two, typically you will struggle with being ignored and feeling rather awful that you can't provide the, quote, love, quote, this other person seems to provide. Is that what you experienced?
Yes. I felt that I didn't have the ability to love him the way that she did, that my self-esteem went to the ground. I didn't know what to do. He was telling me all these things that she was, and I felt that I wasn't any of those things, and I could never be. And at one point I was even beginning to wonder if he ever loved me. Why we even got married. I even questioned, you know, did you love me when you married me? Did I make you marry me? You know, you just start doubting everything about your ability to love someone.
Okay. So that follows to number three. He wanted to tell you about this other person, so he talked openly about the other person. Is that correct?
It was funny. I was thinking today, yes, I was actually thinking today, you know, initially he would talk about what he was feeling. He never said it was about her, but he said, I just wanted that in love feeling, like when we first met. I wanted, like we would watch, the girls and I would watch these love movies, these romantic movies, and he said he would watch those and want to feel that way. And it became so frustrating to me because we had been married for 23 years. It was like, I can't give that to you. So he would continually explain what he wanted, not knowing he was actually experiencing that with her.
Okay. Number four, expect behaviors such as love letters, emails, special names, special promises, secrets only for the two of them. Did you experience that at all? Did you bump into that?
Well, I know that they would text all day long. I did see the phone records and saw all the long conversations and the texts. I didn't check emails and things like that. I really didn't want to know what he was telling her.
Okay. So you did not have a need to know the details.
I don't think it's good for the healing.
Okay. Number five, you may hear the persistent phrase, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I think you mentioned that before. That has popped up every once in a while.
Yes.
Okay.
Of them very often.
Okay. Did you ever explore that with him?
What that meant?
Yeah.
And I think he was looking for that exciting feeling, that, you know, the giddiness that you feel when you first meet someone. He kept saying it was like, you know, when he finally explained what his relationship with her, he said, it was like when we first met. And it's like, that's been 30 years, but I can't, you know, what does that feel like? It's just, you know, the newness, the excitement.
Okay.
That's what he was wanting.
Okay.
He had said he had become bored, you know, with his life, with us, and that just provided that excitement that he was missing.
Okay. So there was a high need for him to feel a particular kind of feeling.
Yes. I think, though, now that we have learned so much about what love is compared to infatuation, that I think he was confusing love with that feeling. You know, being in love, the high, the excitement, it's, you know, that doesn't last forever. There's a deeper kind of love.
So you've explored that concept with him more so than part of the healing process. All right. Number 16.
Probably too much so.
Too much so? What do you mean?
Especially in the beginning, I was telling him these things, you know, and he wasn't in the right frame of mind to listen to me.
Right.
I was throwing articles at him and giving him information of how he should be feeling, and he really, you know, he wasn't at that place.
All right. You're trying to persuade him in a certain direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Number 6, he may feel very badly about his inability to love you. Was ever brought up?
Yeah, he felt really bad. And I think this was the first time in a couple years that he was really able to communicate with me about his feelings. And he would, you know, sit and talk with me, which in the past, you know, it was more of the stonewalling. And I think he did feel bad. He was confused. I mean, I would write him letters, and he would write back, and he said, I'm confused about my feelings. You know, I feel bad I'm doing this to you. So he said, know what to do about it.
Okay. And the 7th point I make is expect his feelings for the other person to fade. And is that true? They have faded, I assume?
Yes. He says that she's a distant memory, and that he doesn't really even think about her or want to contact her or even remember some of the things they did. You know, I was having this little meltdown the other day, and I was talking about how, as a betrayed spouse, you know, we have spent our whole life together, and every experience we experienced together, and now he has a whole time where I can't share that with him, and that's really difficult for me. I know that we need to remember our memories of the past and make new memories in the future, but that was a whole year that I lost without you.
Mm-hmm.
And his response was, I don't even remember, you know, the things that we did. I don't think about the things that we did. So.
Okay, you think about it more than he does.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
Sure. All right, let's go to the next slide here. The emotional affair is what I call affair number 4. I fell out of love and just loved being in love, and I think we've touched on that pretty extensively. And this is one of the slides from last week, in which I said it's very much a risk to confront the other person in an emotional affair. And Linda, I wrote this before I talked to you, before I called you. And for the listeners out there, I called Linda and said, you know, I've known Doug and Linda and their site, they're affiliates of mine for a while. And I said to Linda, you know, I'm writing this book on confronting the other person. And she said, well, I have real strong opinions about confronting the other person. And I thought, I hope that they kind of concur with where I'm going here. And as we talked more, I discovered that, you know, you were dealing with affair number 4. And that you had not confronted the other person, and you had good reasons for not confronting the other person, which coincided with my thinking, which is that to confront the other person in an emotional affair is a risk because it may serve as a juice for the affair couple. Do you think that's true?
I think it would give them more to talk about. As another thing Doug and I discussed is, you know, the beginning of their affair, it was the getting to know you. You were talking about your childhood and, you know, all those things, but the essentially, because you're not a connected couple, there's really not a lot to discuss. You know, you talk about your family, she talks about her family, but there's no connection there. Mm-hmm. So it does start to fizzle at some point, so this just adds more things to talk about. As you said, more juice, you know, and I truly believe it's amazing that I found out, you know, I started seeing the phone calls in September, and the amount of phone calls and texts increased immensely the next 2 months than it had during the rest, you know, previously of their affair. And I think that's because of all the juice that I was creating.
Okay.
I was the one they were probably talking about the whole time.
Okay.
Look what she did today.
Uh-huh. Okay. And where you were, what you were thinking and what you were doing, it gave them, it's more exciting for them then, perhaps.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, I was having an emotional difficulty, so I imagine that she was using that in her favor, you know? So they probably called me the psycho wife.
Okay. Okay. And part of that was the drama then, right? The need
right.
for drama. And part of an emotional affair is based on a high need to experience certain feelings, which in our culture we call drama. You know, a soap opera is drama, right? And an affair is
right.
a soap opera. It's two people withholding something from a third, and we call it drama. And people win Oscars
right.
for it, right? Or
right.
Emmys
but,
or whatever they call it.
Before, though, it's taken, as I said, years to realize that there was a drama. I think when you are the betrayed spouse, you think that everything is wonderful and, you know, you love each other, they love each other, and there's no conflicts, and it's just even keel, unlike your marriage, you know, our marriage. And now I realize there was a lot of drama. There was a lot of high school-like activities, you know, behaviors that were occurring.
Can you give some examples that Doug shared with you? Is that okay?
Yeah. The intense jealousy. He would say on Friday, you know, she would get really upset if he would spend time with his family.
Okay.
Obsessiveness.
Then he'd have to respond to that.
Yes.
She'd get upset. She'd get mad because he was spending time with you and the family.
Right. Yes.
Right?
Right.
And then he would feel what? How would he respond to that?
I think in some ways it was flattering.
Okay.
That someone, you know, wanted him so much and showed that jealousy towards him.
Mm-hmm. So a part of him kind of thrived on that or needed that. Seemingly so.
I didn't get to hear you. I dropped my headphones.
What's that?
Could you repeat yourself? I couldn't hear you. Could you repeat yourself?
Okay. There was a need there for him, the drama served a need for him at that particular point in time. It was exciting.
I think so. I think it was exciting to have someone watch you so much. And, you know, he, as I said, how did you put up with that? How did you, you know, respond to someone telling you you shouldn't be with your family? I didn't really think about it. So, I'm just surprised at some of those behaviors
okay.
that I didn't expect.
Yeah. So I said here, it has a tendency perhaps to solidify the affair relationship, and maybe solidify is a bad word. Maybe it has a tendency to increase the, it ups the tension in the relationship to a degree. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And
I think it adds to the connection.
Adds to the connection, okay.
That they're together again and you are outside of the triangle.
Okay.
You know? I mean, it gives them more things to discuss, more ways that they should be together, the problems in their marriage, and it takes you further away from your partner.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was there a sneaking around kind of aspect of this as well that kind of juiced the relationship?
He said that they, you know, would just go out to lunch, but he mentioned the other day that he hated the sneaking around, but he would leave to go use the phone. He would walk away when he was, you know, if we were at a sporting event or together, he got a phone call. So,
okay.
Yes, I think there was sneaking around.
Okay. I'm not sure about this last statement here. The cheating spouse may become more overtly critical of you or more comparative of you to the other person. Is that, did that happen at all?
Oh, yes. Yes.
It did. Okay. Yeah, say more about
the
that.
The comparison of me compared to her. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That's part of it. Mm-hmm.
You know, when we first started discussing this, you know, I was always, he told me I was negative. She was always positive. I was boring. I fell asleep on the couch. She was exciting. You know, there was a lot of comparisons going on.
Okay.
A lot of devaluing of me. And she was, you know, up on the pedestal.
Okay. Okay.
I'm amazed that the things that he had told me 2 years ago about her and what he has told me recently, as I told you, it's like you're talking about two different people.
Okay, so he's made a switch in terms of how he perceives her.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, the illusion, I think, is going away. It's gone away, and I think he's starting to see, you know, her for what, and the relationship for what it really was.
Okay. Okay. Have you and Doug talked extensively about what was underneath all of this for him or for you? What have you learned about
the reason,
this?
Some of the reasons why he had the affair.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is the most important thing to explore. We just found that we stopped communicating. And the way that we were communicating wasn't conducive to a good marriage. I would, you know, get upset, complain. He would stonewall, you know, walk away. And I felt that he didn't care for me because he wasn't acknowledging my feelings.
Okay.
And then I did, you know, I was working full time and kids, and I did put everything first.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of him. And so we really started working on what we needed to do to make, you know, each other feel loved, and we made each other our priority, our number one priority.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped doing so much, you know, we spend a lot more time together talking and having fun, and we had to stop having fun.
Okay.
And going on dates, and so I think we really understand how we got to the point.
Okay.
And I think that's the most important thing to recover from the care.
Okay. All right, let's focus a little bit more on the whole issue then of confronting the other person. We've pretty much outlined this as a fairly typical, in some ways, emotional affair. Did you know the other person?
No, I had never met her.
Never met her. Okay.
No.
Okay. Help us understand your decision-making process for not confronting the other person. How did that go for you?
It's funny, a few weeks before I found out, I was going to call her and thank her for helping our marriage.
Okay.
Because that's what he told me. And then after I found out, I didn't confront her initially because of fear. Because I was afraid that everything that he had told me about her would be true. And then I would just give up and not continue trying to fight for our marriage.
Okay.
I was afraid for what she would have told me. I didn't want to hear it from her. I needed to hear everything from Doug. And I just didn't want her to be involved in this. I wanted her out of my life.
So you
but
were
confronting her.
You were afraid.
Yes.
You were afraid you would hear what?
That they loved each other, that they were planning on being together, telling me things that he told her, but finding out that she was this perfect person that he had described to me.
Okay. Okay. So you were fearful that some of those fantasy, illusion type of things would be reality.
Yes. And then I didn't know what I would do.
Okay. And you weren't sure how you would respond to that, other than you would just feel devastated, to say the least, right?
Yes, and give up.
And give up.
You know, yes, and that's not something I wanted to do.
Well, at that point, you didn't have the internal strength to be able to think that through or to imagine another scenario in terms of how you would deal with that, correct?
Right.
You weren't ready for
that. No, I wasn't ready. I was, you know. on pure emotion, and I really wasn't able to confront someone in a logical way.
Okay. So that was how long ago? After you, that was soon after you discovered they were emotionally involved. Is that correct?
Yes, about within those 2 months. You know, it had popped in my head, and I thought about it, and I kept making the decision. And then later on, when I became stronger and really started thinking more clearly, I realized that.
Now, when was that? Help people understand how long that took you to get there. Are you there? If you're there yet.
Am I there?
Yeah.
I'm not there yet, no.
80%? Are you 80% there now? No?
I was 80%, yes.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Is it good?
Yeah, that's great. I'm only 85% there.
Okay. Well, it's funny what day it is. Now, the day you talked to me, I was only 20.
Okay.
So, the other day.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I'm at 80.
It varies from day to day sometimes, doesn't it? Yeah.
It really does. It's still the roller coaster.
Uh-huh.
But I truly found out in December, and honestly, in January is when I saw the phone calls and saw the how serious it was, you know, the amount of phone calls and everything. So it took probably January and February for me to get a handle on that.
Now, get a handle on that. What do you mean, get a handle on that?
I just really felt, you know, when I saw all the phone calls and the texts, I just, he must really be in love with her, and what am I going to do about it? How am I going to ever get him to have feelings for me? So I was helpless. I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I was trying wasn't working.
Okay.
And in February, after February, I found your book, and that helped me tremendously. And it gave me a lot of power and strength, and I realized that I wasn't going to confront her because I wanted to get through this to be true to myself with integrity. And I didn't tell my children, my family about the situation. When this was said and done, I wanted to know that I did everything that was right, the best way. And confronting her, I have taken that away from me.
Okay. What are a couple, three things that really jumped that kind of helped reshape your thinking here to help you move in a better direction?
I think when I read your book, it told me, it outlined what an emotional affair was, and it took away the fantasy and the power of it. You know, it just made me realize that it's not what you think it is. It's like teenagers having a little fling, It's not reality, and it helped me realize what was going through his head. Because before that, I just thought he was in love, and she was a perfect person, and there was nothing I could do about it. That he had fallen out of love with me.
Yeah.
And then the suggestions that you made, because I was doing everything the wrong way.
Uh-huh.
I was following him around. I was making dates. I was buying him presents. I was clingy. I was needy. I was emotional, and I didn't realize until I saw that I was just adding more fuel to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually helping the affair continue.
Okay.
Because it was still continuing at that time.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're like a lot of us who have to really work through some of the stupid things we've been taught about what it means to be in love.
Yes. And I did a lot of reading on love at that time. You know, what is love? What is infatuation? What's mature love? So I could, I felt educated myself, even though he wasn't listening to what I was saying.
Okay.
Because I thought I had the power and control, to know that.
Okay.
I knew it was happening.
So what kind of happened after that then about your thinking about? It sounds like you came to a particular point at which you said, "I'm not going to degrade myself here."
Right. Yeah.
There are some things that I stand for. There are some things that are highly, highly important for me, such as integrity, right?
Honesty, integrity, loyalty. I wanted, as I said, I didn't want to come out of this feeling bad about myself, feeling that I did things that were against my character.
Well, what would you have done that would have made you feel bad about yourself?
probably going in confronting and maybe saying things that I shouldn't have said. Or
like
know,
what? Like what would you have said?
I don't know. How can you? I probably use a lot of words I shouldn't have.
Okay.
Called her names that I would think of calling her.
Okay. You kind of let fly.
Blaming her, even if, I'm sorry.
You'd kind of let fly. You'd let go.
Yeah.
You'd just get angry and start blaming
yeah.
her and,
yeah, and that's
swearing
not,
and
right. Yeah, and that's not my personality at all. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it sounds like there was a time, maybe 6 months, 5-6 months after the discovery, that it kind of became clear to you that you would not confront her. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. You know, it's 5 months seems like a long time, but when you're in the midst of that, it just flies. You know, it's every day is so emotional that you don't think of it as that long of a span. It really is. But I just, I didn't think I could do it. You know, I thought about sitting outside the parking lot watching her and
okay.
following her, but
well,
I never thought about confronting.
Linda, I assume you thought about a lot of things. Right?
Oh, everything,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some pretty nasty things as well, is that correct? Pretty nasty things you thought of as well, I would assume.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Oh, I'm sure my imagination of their relationship is a lot worse than it actually was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had conversations in my head of things that he said to her, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Okay, sure.
That's something that you really need to stop.
Sure. But at a point you decided that confronting her would not help you with that.
No, I wanted her, it would just give her more power. I wanted it to be back to Doug and I, and to bring her into that. She has no place in our marriage, in our life, and bringing her in and asking her questions would just add to the power of their relationship.
Okay.
Keep her within our triangle.
It would have continued to feed the juice in the relationship. It would have continued to juice the relationship.
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
It would make her feel that she was more important than she really was.
Okay. So you had to you had to diminish that relationship in your mind.
Yes.
And,
still
and
working on that one.
Yeah, okay, you're 80% there. You got a little work to do on it, but
yes.
You diminish it in the sense that you needed to perceive it as what it really was, or an illusional kind of relationship.
Yes, and that's, you know, it's like good days, it's an illusion. Bad days, it's, you know, real love. It's, you know, you're constantly, like, talking yourself out of the...
Yeah. On bad days, and on bad days you
yeah,
start to
yeah.
on bad days you start to doubt yourself.
Yes.
And
yes. Am I really? Is that really what I'm thinking? Is that true? You know.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Okay. What happened? What was it like a year after you discovered it? That you're talking. We're talking about 6 months after. What about a year or so? Year and a half after you discovered the. Affair. How did your thinking about confronting the other person shift or change at all at that point, if any?
I had no interest at all. I really just wanted to forget that she existed.
Okay.
As I said, I am very curious about her. I've never met her. I've only seen a picture. So the only reason why. Even today, that I would want to see her is just to get rid of the fantasy that I have in my mind.
Yeah. And I remember you telling me that it was a mistake to see her picture because it was a glamour shot. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was a work picture, and I imagine it took a lot of effort. My friend told me it took 3 hours for her to get ready, I'm sure. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so,
I'll believe you.
So again, her picture is an illusion.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And everything, you know. I'm sure that he had told me that you still carry that with you. And, you know, as a woman, you want, you know, women are good at sizing up other women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I would, you know, get a pretty good indication of the kind of person she was. So that's the only reason why I even think about meeting her.
Okay.
It's something that is not good for recovering from a, trying to recover from a, an affair. And as I said, she really should have, she shouldn't have any part in my recovery or my thinking.
Okay. So what you want to focus on then, you have decided somewhere along the line, year, year and a half ago, to begin focusing on the two of you, Doug and you, and trying to extricate her from the triangle.
Yeah.
In your own
I
mind.
I haven't been so successful, but I try.
Yeah. Well, you're still a person with needs here who has been wounded deeply, and the wounds are you're trying to heal the wounds. Is that correct?
Yes.
And some days are better than others. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's only been, what, a couple years?
It was 2 years last week.
2 years last week. Hey, how'd that go?
It was hard. I had a really hard week.
Okay.
I don't know why. It's like the seasons, you know. Things, the events that happened 2 years ago. You know, our daughters went to homecoming. I remember 2 years ago when our son went to homecoming, and that was the night that I asked him out on the first date after I found out.
Okay.
And so this is like little triggers that come up that remind you of those things, even though it has been 2 years.
Gotcha.
As I told him, you know, now that we have a really good relationship and we're having fun, it's even harder to think that he had a relationship with someone else.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Linda, before I look at other questions here, is there anything else that you think others ought to know about confronting the other person here in an emotional affair? Is there anything that I didn't cover that you didn't cover?
Well, you have to really think about why you want to do it. What's your motivation? Are you going to try to make yourself feel better? What are you going to accomplish by confronting them? And are you ready to handle what will happen afterwards? It's like any question that you ask during, you know, that you asked your spouse. Do you really want to know the answer to that question? Is that going to help you in your healing? Or is it going to be a ghost that haunts you all the time? So I think that you have to really think about before you decide why you are doing this.
Okay.
If you're trying to end their affair, if you're trying to make yourself feel better, I don't think any of those will be helpful.
Okay.
Any of those reasons would be helpful.
Okay, so you have a great capacity, Linda, to be able to stand back and ask yourself some really important questions and kind of let that be the guide for you, the way it sounds.
Yes.
Okay.
But see, now I'm thinking logically. 2 years ago, I wasn't.
Yeah.
So that's why I try to help other people.
Exactly. Yeah, you have great empathy for them, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So I try to be their logical voice.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go through some questions here, some of the shorter ones. I don't have time to read some of the longer ones. But Justin asks, is there a time limit after which confrontation is silly? What do you think about that?
I guess it's according to if the affair has ended and what you're doing to repair your marriage. I mean, would that hinder your trying to save your marriage? Would that stop what you're trying to achieve with your relationship by confronting them?
Okay.
You have to figure out what you're focusing on.
Yeah.
Where you are in the process.
Yeah, I think it may depend on the type of affair, too.
Yes.
You know, for example, affair number 7, I want to be close to someone but can't stand intimacy. If it's an ongoing affair where there's a tremendous amount of, or I'm sorry, a long-term affair in which there's a tremendous amount of ambivalence, sometimes confrontation is a catalyst for change if things are not changing over a long period of time. So, yeah. Again, I think you understand what I'm saying there.
Yes, I understand that. Then that way you sort of like try to stop it or try to get one person.
Well, yeah, you get so sick of it living with
what they're going through.
Yeah,
you
get so sick of living in that tension for 5, 6, 7, 8 years that you finally say,
right,
you know, I'm going to do something about it.
Right. And I think that would be a good thing to do.
Uh huh. Justin asked another question. What about a physical affair? Were they ever physically involved? Do you know, Linda?
You said they weren't, that they were physical.
Okay. they were not physical.
Yeah.
Emotional affairs may have a physical component to it, but it still may be in a physical.
Can you explain that one? Yeah.
An emotional affair may have a physical component to it as well. Is that,
okay.
You agree?
Would that be sexual or just, or any kind of?
Well, it could be, yeah, physical, let's talk about intercourse. It could be intercourse.
Okay.
Possible.
I think a lot of people don't understand that.
Don't understand what?
That they think emotional affairs not include a sexual component. So that's good to know.
Yeah, it may be part of it, but I think a lot of emotional affairs do not focus on the physical sexual part of it. As a matter of fact, if the couple does have sex, it may end the affair.
And I love when you said that. That's one of my favorite things to read because that makes me feel better.
Okay. Hey, I want you to feel better.
Is that because then all the fantasies, the illusions are away?
Exactly. Yep. The illusions may vanish. Yep. When you wake up next to someone with bad breath, you know, and all that other stuff.
And a lot of times then when that happens, the woman wants to take it a lot further.
Uh-huh.
I hate to stereotype that. Then the man is willing to. You know, once that's consummated, I think the woman will be ready to divorce, move away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just finalize the relationship.
Mm-hmm. And again, we're not talking about rules and what happens all the time. We're talking about patterns and tendencies here, aren't we?
Right.
And affairs are very complex.
And everything is different. Yes.
Yeah. Here's a question from Libby. Why does she feel that it is better not to know what was in the emails? Why did you not want to know what was in the emails?
Because they haunt you. Some of the things that I know is still on my mind. You know, they told each other they loved them, loved each other. The other day, he said he's just the way she talked to me. And it's difficult. First of all, you compare yourself to that relationship, and you can't. It's an illusion. And so those are the things you have to realize they were happening. And in a situation that was conducive to all the talk and the lovey-dovey stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think in a lot of ways it's just better not to know all of the little details.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, Libby has another question here. Dr. Heising, are you going to speak to those who want to confront the other person and why? Yes. I do believe it's important in some situations to confront the other person. And in other situations, it's a decision-making process that you go through in terms of weighing the outcome and also knowing whether you are prepared or not to confront the other person. And in the seminar next week, I'm going to talk about, are you ready? Are you really ready to confront the other person? So in light of my 7 types of affairs, again, some of those lend themselves better to confronting the other person than others do, such as the affair we're talking about today, which both Linda and I agree it's problematic to confront the other person. Okay, here's another one for you, Linda. You ready?
Yes.
Will she feel the same about confronting the other person if she found out there were others? I don't know if that's a fair question, but I assume this is the only emotional affair that Doug has had. Is that correct?
As far as I know, you know.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. I think you're still thinking of, you know, it's still adding fuel to the fire of this one, and it doesn't really make a difference that there are past affairs.
Okay.
You really need to focus on the one you. She's having right now.
Okay. Here are a couple other questions related to trust. How do you feel about his lies? How do you feel about his selective memory? How do you trust again? Those are real.
That's really hard.
Those are big ones, aren't they?
They are. And I mean, we had this conversation this morning. about, you know, it's for the most part, you know, I put him on a pedestal, and I never believed that he would do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been the most difficult thing for me, is realizing that he is human, he does make mistakes, and he lied to me repeatedly, and trying to realize that he wasn't perfect. I'm still mourning that idea that we had this fairy tale marriage and this perfect existence. And it just takes a long time. And I realize that we just need to start over again, you know?
Do you know when
getting to know him again.
Yeah. Do you know when he's lying?
Do I know when he's lying?
Yes.
So he said?
Yes. Can you tell?
I didn't know, no.
No? Can you tell now?
I am cluing in. I'm trying, yes.
Okay.
You know, I read all the books. How do you tell when a person's lying? You know, by their facial expressions, before the words, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I try to clue in, but do you want to live that way? Always wondering if they're telling the truth?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you see it as a process, rather a rather long-term process of regaining trust, the way it sounds. And along the line, you make some decisions about who you want to be. You want to be a trusting person.
I do. Rather, I've always been a trusting person.
Okay, so that's easier for you than others, perhaps.
Well, it was easier. Now, you know, you go through a point where you wonder if you can trust anyone.
Sure.
And you become paranoid that everyone will lie to you and betray you. So it's come a long way. I want, you know, so much to be back to where I was before all this happened, the kind of person that I was.
Okay.
I want to be trusting again. And, you know, as I said, I really lost my naive, you know, being naive and your childlike qualities almost. But I guess that's a good thing.
Okay. Right, right. Here's another one by Mary. I keep asking him every day, did you talk to her? Did she call you?
Yes.
How can I get past asking these questions? This is a good one. This is a good one, Mary.
I'm asking.
How do you do that, Linda?
You realize that he's probably not going to tell you the truth, you know, until he becomes totally transparent. And that means he's giving you his cell phone, his email address, he's telling you where he's going.
Okay.
I asked every day, and I received the same question. No, I didn't talk to her. And then when he did, and you have to stop focusing on her and focusing on knowing. You can't control what he's doing or she's doing. You have to just focus on yourself.
Okay.
Try to forget. Put that on the back of your mind.
So you
it's not going to make any difference if we're contacting or not. You know?
Okay, so you worked hard on shifting your focus away from him. Actually, I'm sorry, away from the other person, away from Doug and his lies, and tried to shift your focus onto who you wanted to be and how you're going to handle this situation, and you're about 80% there. Right?
Yes, on good days. Yes.
On good days. Okay.
Good days.
Okay. It really is a process, isn't it?
I just didn't think it would take so long.
Yeah. I say 2 to 4 years if you really kind of focus on it well. It's really, you say you want to go back, Linda, but I think you want to go ahead. I think you're going to be a much different person. And you're going to be wiser, stronger, more self-aware, more confident. All of those things are going to emerge here. And they are emerging,
yes.
Don't you think?
Yes, I do. I mean, I feel in a lot of ways that I'm, you know, taken off, and things that I have put to the side by being a mother and a wife that I'm pursuing again, and just learning to the new me, which is part of the old me, but a better part. Yeah, and, you know, I read, I think it's what you said, is that the betrayed spouse comes out ahead in this, that we explore our faults and find out how we can be better, and we're stronger. Where a lot of times the betrayer just stays stuck and doesn't really think about why they had the affair, you know, what issues are going on. And how they need to improve.
Yeah, well, I assume Doug, and I'm not saying this to be critical of him, he was probably stuck in some adolescent kind of stuff that he'd never really worked through at that point in his life.
Right. Yes. That's definitely true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, responsibility, wanting to grow up. And I think that was a lot of part of it, is just wanting to go back to be 18 again.
Yeah.
Have those feelings and, you know, not have all the responsibility of life. And,
right, three teenage kids. Three teenage kids supporting them.
Yeah, and, you know, our son was going through those teenage years, so he probably saw, you know, gosh, I miss that. And we all do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have to grow up and move on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one positive thing in relation to that is that we started doing things that we used to do when we were that age. You know,
mm-hmm.
we met when we were 18, and, you know, we just started taking time to remove ourselves from the reality of life,
mm-hmm.
and just having fun and forgetting who we were for a while.
Yep.
You know, forgetting that we were parents and, you know, held a job. And that's, I think that's been the most important thing in our recovery.
Yep. Okay. Oh, here's another question. We've got time for one more, maybe. And this is not directly related to you, but you might have some insight on this, Linda. I always think of her having sex with the guy with whom she was cheating on me. The fact that I will never know what happened between them sexually just turns me crazy. How does Linda feel about this? Yeah. Does she trust him when he says there was never anything physical between him and his lover? Well, you've kind of touched on that, but this whole idea of this sexual image. Go ahead. Go ahead.
And I still wonder about that. You know, I mean, I've given him every opportunity to tell me if it was physical or not, but it still goes through my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something you need to block. And I think in your book, don't you talk about blocking those images and things like that?
Yeah, there are ways that there are tools and techniques that you can use. Some of them work, some of them don't. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I tell myself, is it going to make a difference in what we're trying to do? You know,
okay.
Is it going to change things? You just need to let it go.
Okay. Yeah, you're talking about a great capacity you have to be able to stand back and kind of see things for how they are, and talk to yourself and communicate with the hurting part of you and move it in a particular direction. Correct?
Right.
Yeah, that's really great, and that's difficult to come by often, but it is part and parcel of the healing process. Yeah. Here's another question, Linda. How long in the process was it until your husband became transparent? Is he transparent now?
I think so.
It
was over a year. Longer than I would ever imagine. You know, I believe the affair ended, it took a long time after that for him to understand what happened and for him to come back to me.
Uh-huh.
That was the hardest part, was after ending the affair, thinking, okay, it's over and we're going to start. And he didn't come back the way I thought he would.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was really a struggle.
Yeah. And to me, transparency is a gradual process, isn't it?
Yes.
And we're always...
You start with one area.
Yeah, and we're always becoming more and more transparent, or at least attempting to. So sometimes I tell people to measure that on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being as transparent as he can be, and 1 being not transparent at all, and to notice the shifts and know what the markers are along the way.
Yeah, and I think that is the most important thing that I read that you had, was just to measure how you were a month ago. What was his behaviors a month ago compared mm-hmm. to what they are now? What has changed for the positive? And write those down
mm-hmm.
and savor them, because you think, oh, it's hopeless. It's like such a long road ahead. But if you go in small steps and you can actually see the progress, then you feel you can keep, you know, moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I also think communicating to them what is upsetting you. Like, you know, he didn't realize that every time he picked the cell phone up that my heart would jump. And now he knows. He picks himself up, he's around me, he's talking around me. And
uh-huh.
it's just something that they don't understand what triggers you.
Okay.
And what they need to be transparent about.
All right. Here's one for you, Linda. Wow, Linda, I'm in tears listening to you because I'm doing all the wrong things, but I thank you for all this that I had to hear. How do you feel about that?
Can't talk.
You don't have to talk. Sometimes silence says a lot. Here's another one by Timothy. It says, please tell me this recording will be available later. I want my wife to hear it. Okay.
Is the wife the one who had the affair?
I assume so. Timothy, yes, it will be available. I said at the beginning here that after my third webinar series next week, when I talk about assessing whether you're ready or not, I'm going to post them on the blog only for those who have registered. So it's going to be for an exclusive group only. And then you'll be able to access them online. I'll let you know when they're up. All right, our time's about up here. There are more questions. I'm sorry I can't get to them all. But, Linda, I appreciate you for your time and for sharing. It takes courage. It takes strength. And I applaud you for that, and I'm sure other people applaud you as well for your willingness to share here. For the group here, what's that?
Thank you for allowing me to, as I hope that, you know, my experiences can help someone else.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been really good, and I appreciate your presence very much so. Visit Linda and Doug at emotionalaffair.org. Linda and Doug write great blogs and share their experiences in a very heartfelt way, and they are here to help people. And please visit their site and read their stories. Linda, thank you very, very much. Appreciate you being here, and maybe we can do something else some other time, okay? You take care.
Okay,
and
thank
you. To everyone else, I'll see you next week. And remember, this too shall pass.